bless you all.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Okay. So this is going to be number 19 or number 20 in this study, Great Women of the Bible. And I hope it's been a blessing so far.
Yes.
We've been at it for over a year, coming up on a year and a half, I think. So, and we're not even halfway through. So we got quite a lot of a long way to go yet. But I hope it's bringing out lessons that we can all learn from. And so today we're going to be in the first book of Samuel, chapter 25, and we're going to be looking at Abigail. And when we look at Abigail, we're going to be looking at the life of David and the influence that Abigail had on David. So we're going to look at David a little bit before, and we're going to look at David a little bit afterwards, and we're going to see what was the influence that Abigail had on his life. So that's a bit higher. Just don't like the one that kind of, and they're adjusting the sound there, and I've just moved the microphone. Thanks for your patience. Philip's a wonderful, wonderful brother to me. So anyway, let's turn to 1 Samuel 25, and we'll just read verses 2 and 3. And there was a man. Oh, and if you want to stand, you can. You know, stretch your legs. We didn't stand at all during the song service. But also from respect to the word of God. There was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your goodness and your blessings, and we pray that you be with us this evening and just bring us some lessons from your word. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may take your seats. Okay. Churlish means that he behaved like a churl. Yeah, that's the technical reading. Yeah. So a churl is a fool, someone who is hasty in his words, someone who is maybe not as mild-mannered as he should be. I didn't actually come up with alternative translations and definitions for that, but basically it's an English word that means an ill-mannered, bad-tempered, slightly not the brightest spark in the box kind of a person, if you know what I mean. Okay? And Nabal means fool, as we'll find out later in the chapter. But let's talk about David for a second, just to put this in the context. So I want anyone who knows the answer to this question, how old was David at this point in his journey through life? Emma? 40s. Laura? 20s. Yeah, most likely early to mid 20s, okay? We don't know exactly how old he was, but we know he became king in Hebron over Judah when he was 30 years old. And this was in the lead up when he was in the wilderness running away from Saul. And he spent a few years in the wilderness and eventually ended up in the Philistines' land living under their protection. But I want to show you something, because the beginning of the chapter says, "And Samuel died, and all Israel gathered together and lamented him. and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. So David is a young man in his mid-20s. Philip, how old are you? Maybe someone like Philip's age. Okay? And suddenly he's taken from a place where he's a war leader of Israel, but he's surrounded by people that comfort him, people that give him advice. You know, when he first runs away from Saul, he runs to Samuel, the prophet. Okay? So he's a young man, where shall I go? And he runs to Samuel, the prophet. And Samuel protects him from Saul. Okay? Because Saul goes out to find Samuel and David, and the Spirit of God comes down on Saul and stops him from doing whatever he was planning to do. But Samuel's taken away from the picture. After David, and this is just summarizing the chapters, after David is with Samuel for a while, he goes back to Jonathan, his best friend, who's the king's son, and he says to him, hey, what have I done that's upset your dad? Can you help me out here? And Jonathan and David have this arrangement, they have this agreement where Jonathan is helping David, and Jonathan, even after David flees, and Saul comes hunting for David and his men, Jonathan comes and finds him and just strengthens him in the Lord. The Bible says that. But it's getting to the point where, you know, David goes to the priests, and the priests don't want anything to do with him because they're like, we know Saul doesn't like you. Why are you appearing out the middle of nowhere with nothing on you? And he's like, well, the king sent me on a secret mission. You got any weapons that I can borrow? Because the king was really, okay. Then he goes down to Philistine, to Gath, and that's where, well, he wasn't thinking quite right because the priest said to him, we've only got one thing. He's in the tabernacle. We've only got one thing, and that's that sword that you took off of Goliath. And David says, oh, give me that sword. There's none like it. And then where does he go? To Gath, Goliath of. So he appears and he comes before the king. He's like, wait a second. We recognize that sword. Can we have it back, please? Okay. And so he runs into the wilderness and Samuel dies and he's separated and he's hiding in the cave in Adullam. And he gets a band of men. His family come to hide from Saul with him, and the outlaws come, and he's kind of living, you know, like a Robin Hood style lifestyle. You know, he's out there trying to do his best to serve the people, you know. And Samuel dies. And so now he's the leader of this group of men. Some are good, some are bad. He's a young man. And all of his advisors are gone. But God was preparing an advisor for him. Okay? God spoke to him through different methods, but God got to the point where he said, David, you need an advisor who can really help you. And what Abigail didn't know, and that's Abigail, you know, I'm sure you've made the connection there. What Abigail didn't know was that her time with her first husband, which probably wasn't as pleasant as it could have been, because he was a bit of a churl, as we have established, okay? He was evil in his doings. And so you got a wise woman married to an evil husband, and she is just trying her best to manage and to cover for his mistakes and to keep the household running in peace despite what he is doing to upset people around him. And we can see this as the story unfolds because David is in a position where he doesn't have Samuel anymore. He doesn't have Jonathan anymore. He's at the head of a group of men. The priests that he went to seek advice from, they've all been slaughtered by Saul. The son of the priest has come into his camp. But again, David has become at this young age a leader without advisors. And God has prepared someone for him. And we're going to read this story. Okay? So here's David. You can think of him as Robin Hood, you know, living in the wilderness, protecting the people around him from the bandits, from the animals. Okay? And he hears Nabal did shear his sheep. So David sent 10 young men. David said to the young men, get you up to Carmel, this is verse 5, and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace both be to thee, and peace to all thy house, and peace to all thou hast. He says, now I've heard you're shearing sheep. It's a time of riches for you. It's a time of increase for you. You're going to have feasts there. You're going to have the shearers there. You've got a lot of sheep, 3,000 sheep, okay? So it's a big enterprise that he's doing, and he's about to, it's a time of harvest, you know. What do you do with the wool? You sell it on. It's a time of increase for Nabal. And he says, we were with your shepherds in the night, in the darkness, in the cold, okay? We were good to you. Give us a gift, basically. That seems kind of foreign to our way of thinking, almost like a bit of extortion is going on there. But it was within the cultural norms of that time, and we can see that from the reaction of the shepherds. So he says, I've heard that thou hast shearers, now thy shepherds were with us. We hurt them not. Neither was there aught missing to them all the while they were at Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thy hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. So he's saying, we looked after, we could have stolen your sheep in the wilderness and ate them. We could have, you know, let the wolves come in. But we protected them. So part of your good fortune is down to us. So can we have a little thank you? And Nabal, so verse 9, and when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all the words in the name of David and ceased. And Nabal, this is churlish behavior here, answered David's servants and said, who is David and who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? And David's young men turned about their way and went again and came and told him all those things. And this made David very angry, because he felt that he had done right by Nabal and by his shearers. He had not mistreated them. And at the time when there was great riches, he was just getting slapped in the face. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. So it's a pretty big band of miscreants and soldiers that are with David. Okay? Coming down. But this churlish behavior obviously was known, and also the remedy for the churlish behavior was known. And we find this, and this couldn't have been something that happened out of nowhere, that the young men came one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed upon them. He was angry with them. Okay? But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the field. They were a wall unto us both by night and by day, all the while we were keeping with them, keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. So not the first time, obviously, that she has, something has been highlighted to her of the wrong that her husband has done to somebody and asked her to mediate and bring about right so not everybody gets damaged. So she must have been used to this kind of a situation. How do I react in the right way that maintains the right balance between how I am meant to be as a wife, how am I meant to be as a head of the household, how am I meant to bring the right outcome into a situation where I'm in a bad situation because of somebody else that I'm irrevocably tied to. And that's a good question, isn't it? Because we've all had times in our marriage, and I suppose you could speak to Rachel and she'll tell you of times in our marriage where the consequences of my decisions have fallen on her, and she's had to bear those consequences and even make them right through no fault of her own, other than she's just the unfortunate person who got married to me. Okay? But what you have to remember in all of this is nothing happens to a Christian by chance, and every step that you take along your life and every step where you have to resolve that kind of a situation is a training, is something that God is giving you to prepare you for the next step in your life, the next step in your walk with Him. And so at times like this, we call on the wisdom of the Lord. At times like this, we give thanks. At times like this, we realize that it's no good. Yeah, what was it? Someone asked me a question. What does it mean to kick against the pricks? Like, that's the ox goad, yeah? You know, Paul, they said, don't kick against the pricks. Like, so if you have, you know, if you have a nice 8-foot pole with a piece of metal on it and you're trying to lead the oxen, you can poke them in the backside and steer them and, you know, giddy up there. And if that oxen is stubborn, it will stand still and try and kick at you and flick its tail at you like you're a fly. But it's not going to help because you're 8 foot away and you're just going to be like, oh, yeah, that's funny. Come on, I'm going to just prick you a bit harder till you start moving forwards. So everything that comes to our life, whether we like it or not, and especially if we don't like it, is God directing us, motivating us, bringing things to us that are going to develop our character as a husband, as a wife, as a Christian, as a brother, as a sister, to guide us into how do you be more like Jesus Christ? Okay? And to prepare you for something that's going to happen to you down the road. And so all this is happening to Abigail to prepare her for what's going to happen to her down the road when she is going to be one of the wives of David. And he's going to need that wisdom. And we're going to see the effects of this in David's life later. So then Abigail made haste. And this is interesting. She didn't consult with her husband. She didn't try and persuade him that he'd done wrong. Okay? She just said, here is what I need to do. Here's where I need to go. Now, please, sisters, I'm not encouraging you to, like, you know, my husband's done wrong, I can just ignore him, I'm going to press on, I'm going to do the right thing and not tell him anything about it. I hope your husband isn't unable. I don't think anyone in here is, but I'm just saying there is a time when that's the appropriate response. Brothers, we've all got a little bit of churlishness in us. We've all got a little bit that God is still working on bringing out of us. Okay? And so if your wife reacts to your navel, have a little bit of understanding, okay, when you get out of your navel mindset, okay? You understand what I'm saying? So she made haste and took 200 loaves, 2 bottles of wine, 5 sheep ready dressed, 5 measures of parched corn, and 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of fig, and laid them on asses. And she said to her servants, "Go on before me, and behold, I come after you." But she told not her husband Nabal. It was so as she rode on the ass that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now, David said, "Surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missing of all that pertained unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good." And now we find David, God, "So and more do God to the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertaineth to him by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall." Like, I'm going to go down. He has done me wrong. And God would judge him. And the enemy, my enemies, God will judge in the same way. I'm going to go down. I'm going to kill all the males in his household. That's it. I'm done. Because this is the righteous judgment that God has put on my heart to bring on that house. You see? Because he's doing this in the name of God and saying, "I am right to do this." Young man, 23, 25 years old. We don't know exactly. But without Samuel, without Jonathan, without the priests, and without pausing to consult with God, thinking he has, but going out in his anger. And God says, "What you need is Abigail. And I've prepared her to meet you at this time to bring you the wisdom of God into your life." And when Abigail saw David, she hasted, lighted off the ass, and fell before David on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and fell at his feet, and said, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience, and hear the words of thine handmaid." Now this is interesting, because here we see the Spirit of God in Abigail. Okay, just like we see the Spirit of God in Daniel. She doesn't say, "My husband's a foolish man, and I've come to make things right for him." She says, "This is my fault. This is all on me." And she takes responsibility for that. That's interesting. Like Daniel, when he prays, he says, I and the children of Israel have been disobedient in your sight. He takes on himself the sins of the nation and says, he doesn't exclude himself and stand apart and say, "They have sinned, forgive them." He says, "I have sinned. We have sinned." Moses as well. He includes himself with the children of Israel. And so that's the Spirit of God. So if you're gonna make things right, without consulting your husband, make sure that you're taking all the blame for it. You understand what I'm saying? That's the attitude that you have to approach these things with, or you're not going to get, you're not approaching it in a Christ-like attitude. Do you see what I'm trying to say here? Abigail takes it and says, upon me be everything. All right. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and his folly is with him. But I, thy handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as Jehovah liveth, and thy soul liveth, seeing Jehovah has withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And David was going to repay his vengeance by himself. And this is something that we need to be very careful about, how we approach things and how our attitude is when we're upset and when we want to say, oh, the right thing to do is this. Are we going to be able to do it in the right attitude? Or can we put it all into the hands of God? Okay. He says, and now this blessing, this food, which thine handmaiden hath brought unto my Lord, let it be even given unto the young men that follow my Lord. And I pray thee, forgive the trespass. And she doesn't say the trespass of my husband, right? She says, forgive the trespass of thine handmaiden. All right, she makes it her own. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house. Jehovah, I'm going to say Jehovah for that capital L-O-R-D, because that's the, because my Lord fighteth the battles of Jehovah, and evil hath not been found in thee all these days. And I just love this phrase, okay? He says, yet a man is risen up to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with Jehovah thy God. And the souls of thine enemies shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. I thought about bringing my marshmallow sling along with me. Have you ever seen how a stone is just laying there, it's just laying there, and then just almost nonchalantly a slinger will one, two, and away that stone goes. It seems to require no effort on the sling thrower's part. And away that stone goes. And that stone can be sitting by you for ages, but just at that time when the slinger decides, okay, now's the time, goodbye. 200 or 300 yards away, okay? But you're bound up in the bundle of life. There's no way that God can throw you out because you're bound up with him. To throw you out would be to do damage. You know, there's a proverb. I can't remember it exactly, but it's... a fool with his words is as when you bind a stone to a sling. Okay? So you bind a stone to a sling, you try and let it go, it's going to rip around, who knows where it's going to, it's probably going to hit you in the head and injure you. Okay? Your soul is so precious to God, there's no way he can sling it far from you because it's bound up in the bundle of life. It says, and it shall come to pass, verse 30, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he's spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief to thee, nor offense to the heart of my Lord, that either thou hast shed blood causeless, okay, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaiden. And so there's two offenses that she saves him from and brings him wisdom. And she brings him to the realization that it's not everyone that you were planning to kill wasn't in on this. It was just one person, and you were going to kill everybody. And when you realize that, you will realize that you have shed innocent blood. You have shed blood causeless. Because those young men, those shepherds, they were concerned enough that they didn't agree with Nabal, that they went to Abigail and said, hey, there's trouble coming. It's not our fault. You know what kind of, okay? And this is one thing where we need to be very careful. We need to listen to the wisdom of God that comes to us as Abigail came to David. If you take vengeance on yourself or by yourself, you are going to hurt people for no reason. You're going to hurt people that had nothing to do with the reason that you're offended. And you will face judgment for that hurt that you caused. You understand? So when you are offended, you take that to God and let him take the actions in the situation, because he's the one that knows. And the second is that my Lord hath avenged himself. And you think about it, David was prepared to take his understanding of God's will further than God would take it. Because he just got upset because someone turned him down a meal. All right? But what was the judgment, if you like, if I can put it this way, what was the judgment that God gave to Cain, who murdered his grandson, if I can put it that way? He didn't kill him. He set a mark on him that no one would kill him. Okay? And I don't know why, but God loves life. And maybe there was a chance that Cain could have repented and come to God. We know there was a chance at least before that, because God said, if you do well, you'll be accepted. God doesn't lie. If Cain had done the same thing that Abel had done, even without the revelation, he could have entered into the blessing. But he couldn't bring himself to do that. So, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me, and blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. And he tells her, God has sent you today to be the voice of God to me. When I was angry, when I was reacting out of my own emotion, my own upset, when I was justifying my actions by the name of God, God sent you to me to restore that, to restore me to the right way. Because I was going to kill everyone. So David received of her hand that which she brought him and said unto her, go up in peace to thy house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice. I have accepted thy person. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore, she told him nothing, more or less, until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. Because, well, Abigail became, now you understand, we can take this too far. All right? Abigail became one of the ways in which God could talk to David and bring his wisdom into the situation. Not Abigail was the voice of God, but at that time she was the voice of the Lord to David. And there'll be times when your sisters will be the voice of God to your husbands. You have to have that right approach. Upon me be that iniquity. Okay? To come in the right atmosphere, to say, you know, we're not about seeking revenge. Let it go with the Lord. Bring that voice of peace and wisdom. And husbands and young men, when you get married, you're going to feel like David. Oh, this is what God says we should do. We're going to go out and we're going to do it with a vengeance. And at those times, young sisters, kind of brothers, you know, just remember, if God puts something on your heart, come with the right attitude, the right approach, and you can be the voice of God to your husband. So if she's the voice of God to you, young men, you better listen, okay? And if God puts something on your heart to do, young ladies, you do it. And the same for, you know, your older folks who are married and got gray hairs as well, like me. So Abigail hasted and rode upon an ass, verse 42, with five damsels of hers that went after her. She went after the messengers of David and became his wife. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they were both of them his wives. Now we're going to see the effect of this. Let's turn to, I think it's Chronicles chapter 3. Yeah. So Chronicles chapter 3. We're just going to look at names and outcomes here for a moment, all right? Now, these were the sons of David, which were born to him in Hebron, the firstborn, Ammon, of Ahinoam the Jezreelitess. So that was his first son. Second, Daniel, of Abigail the Carmelitess. Okay? The third, Absalom, the son of Machi, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. The fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith. Okay. Ammon means faithful, his firstborn son. Daniel means God is my judge. Oh, and by the way, Abigail means father of joy, or the joy, my father's joy, if you like. Okay, that's what Abigail means. Absalom means father of peace. And Adonijah means worshiper of Jehovah. Okay? So, Amnon came to a bad end. His brother murdered him after he... well, it's not a pleasant story, but after he treated his sister wrong, we'll put it that way. And Absalom murdered him. Absalom was killed after he revolted against David. And Adonijah, when David was dying, he said, well, I've been with my father these, you know, 40 years. I've lived an upright life. I've never done anything to upset my father. And he tried to set himself up as king. And he had the support of half the court, the royal court around him. Okay? But he was outside of the will of God. So Amnon grew up getting what he wanted. and that led him into trouble. Now remember, all these people had names of faith. They had the same father, David. They had different mothers. And the mother's influence on the child brings about these outcomes, or has an influence on bringing out these outcomes. So Amnon always got what he wanted, till he wanted something he shouldn't have, and he died because of it. Absalom was angry with his father to the point where he said, we should just replace him. I should be the one that should replace him. Okay? Adonijah was patient, but eventually he tried to take what wasn't his. He says, well, now's the time, I'm going to move. And he moved, and he's almost split the kingdom. Solomon forgave him, but later killed him when he tried to take the kingdom again. But Daniel, who also in 2 Samuel chapter 3 is called Chileab, nothing is heard of him. And his mother, Abigail, brought him up in a way, and Chileab means like his father. So he was called Daniel, which means God is my judge. Okay? Because God is my judge. That doesn't mean God judges me necessarily, although that's part of it. But God is my judge of the situations I'm in, and not a judge that is just, here's the, you remember the my judge and the deliverer of the sentence, because God judged for David on Nabal and judged Nabal guilty and slung him out. And so it looks to me like here's Daniel brought up by his mother in a way that gets him the name Chileab. He's just like his father because of his mother's influence. And nothing more is written in the Bible of him, but he didn't rebel. There's nothing written of him that he spoke against David. There's nothing written of him that he was against Solomon. No, it's a difficult situation in those where you have multiple wives. Don't recommend it, but it used to happen. I think we've talked about this before where, you know, how do you decide the succession among a number of firstborns? And this was, you know, even Bathsheba, there was judgment against her and David for their sin. And Solomon was the second son, but God promised the kingdom to Solomon. All right? But I just want you to see what Abigail went through to get her to the point where she could be that wise advisor and that voice of God to David. And not just in how she, because it's very common, you know, Samuel, his sons went wrong. Eli, his sons went wrong. And so there's this part in the Bible where you say there's a man that's so focused on the work of God that the children depart from serving God. And the children go wrong. And I'm not going to say your child needs a mother and a father. All right? I'm not going to say it's all the father's fault. But how much of that is the father's fault? How much of it is the mother's fault? Because here we see Abigail, a wise woman of understanding, and her son, of the first four sons of David, is the only one listed as, you know, we don't hear anything of him other than he was like his father. This is the influence of a wise woman in how you bring up the children to serve God, not to be selfish and wanting everything, not to try and take things before the time, or even when the time has come to try and displace somebody else. So, it's quite something. Abigail, joy of her father, prepared by God through a hard course to be the voice of wisdom for David and bringing up her children in a way that was pleasing to God, so much so that Daniel became known as, well, he's just like his father. He's just like David. And that's Abigail. I hope that was a blessing to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your love. We thank you for Abigail and her witness, her testimony. Pray that we could be like her in bringing your wisdom into the situation where we would be a wise advisor to those around us, where we would be bring up our children right, where we could support the work of God that goes on. And we thank you for this. If I've said anything wrong, please bring it to your light. But the words that you've spoken, may they sink down in our hearts and encourage us as we manifest you in this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. Well, I was walking down the street the other day, and there's a song that I'm learning. Maybe I'll sing it sometime, not tonight. Has a beautiful line. Let the blood of Calvary speak for me. You know that song? May you write me down as righteous when a righteousness has been. Such a wonderful line. But here's the thing. I thought, what we're doing is, we sang that song about going to heaven. I want to be in heaven. But really what we're doing is, like, heaven should be right here, right now, manifest in us. Right? You want to see Jesus? How many people want to see Jesus? Okay, where are you wanting to see Jesus? Right now, right here, not in my brother, although, yeah, sure, in my brother, not in my sister, but what if I could see Jesus in me? Okay, so there's that song, This Is Like Heaven to Me. You know that song? So, you got it? Okay, so we're not crossing over Jordan when we get to death. We're crossing over Jordan now. We're not waiting to see Jesus. We're not waiting to go into the pearly gates. We are waiting to see heaven here right now. And I had that thought. I was like, heaven is here now. And just bless me. So we're going to sing this song, and hopefully it will bless you too. We find many people who can't understand why we are so happy and free. For we've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. This is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. It's like heaven to me. Happy, I sing and I shout. The devil doesn't believe it, I see. But I'm filled with the Spirit, there isn't a doubt. And that's what's the matter with me. For this is like heaven to me. Yes, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Amen. So, let's go out with recognizing the heaven that's within us. You know, Abigail, she spoke the words of God. She didn't know she was speaking the words of God. Okay? But David knew she was speaking the words of God. So let's go out and speak the words of God to others around us. Let's be wise like Abigail was. Let's take on the burdens of others like Abigail did, genuinely, you know, not from pretense. And let's speak words of encouragement and keep people on the right path as much as we can, because that's what God has called us to do in these days. Amen. Well, I guess I'll ask Philip if you want to come and dismiss us in a word of prayer.
Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this many blessings that you have given us, Lord. Lord, we know that you are always with us, that you are guiding us, even if we struggle sometimes to see it until much later. And Lord Jesus, we thank you also for this lesson on these women through the Bible, Lord. We know that you have a purpose for all things, Lord. Even those that we may not understand in this situation, Lord, we know you can work through anyone at all. It doesn't have to be a preacher. It doesn't have to be some mighty warrior, Lord. It could be anyone. Lord Jesus, we just thank you again for this time that you have given us to gather together, Lord, and to worship and to learn more about you. Lord Jesus, as also we go home tonight, I ask for safe travels of everybody. Lord, this weather, may you, the angels, be with us. We know that you are sending them, Lord, to protect us, Lord. And also, Lord, for all those that need a touch from you, Lord, we ask for their continued just healing, Lord, and also just an uplifting of the spirits. May they be just completely filled, and may their faith be able to overcome every situation, Lord. And again, Lord Jesus, we just ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
God bless you all. Oh, this is like heaven to me.